Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
This news that's just come in that has been in the last 10 or 15 minutes, John Clayton died today.
Yeah.
A couple hours ago, he was 67. All of our lives have been touched by Clayton and everything he's done over the course of his career. And, oh, man.
He's owed me a drink for multiple drinks for 17 years.
Well, I will tell Pat that she owes you those drinks to be able to get those for her. It really is it's a difficult thing right now. John Clayton, look, on TV, on ESPN, he's been all over the place. You've heard him on the radio in the last 30 years, and he, everything you're going to see and read about him is true. He was one of the nicest guys. He was serious about what he did, being an NFL insider, but he loved to have fun. You know, a lot of people are going to, you know, spend a lot of time going, remember that Slayer commercial he did for ESPN and all kinds of stuff? And he was that kind of guy. I mean, he would always go out of his way to try to help somebody. When I was on late at night on ESPN, he says, I'll come on every Sunday night with you and talk football. And he was just that guy. I had lunch with him and his wife a few times when he was here in LA, and last time I saw him was I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. I think the last time I saw him he was at the Super Bowl, and you know, talked to him for a few minutes there, and you know, just was great that he was always still doing stuff. Now he's just on the air talking about Russell Wilson last week. We're still doing his weekend show. You know, it was hard for him to come on with us because it was too late when we first started doing the show, you and I. And it's really, I'm still stunned by it. I mean, I know the news came in 20 minutes ago, and I said, I gotta man up, because we got to go on the air and talk about Deshaun Watson and the NCAA tournament and all kinds of crazy-ass stuff and Juju Smith-Schuster and, you know, me still having it clinched, you know, for our bracket challenge. But I'll tell you, John,
congratulations,
Clayton,
to your Duke Blue Devils. Yeah.
Thank you. I was very nervous for the first 10 minutes, but then it was okay.
A minute and a half, yeah.
Then it was all right. John is just, I don't know what to say. Everything, I will say this, everything you're going to read about him and you're starting to read about him is true. And it's something when you can see everybody that I've known, that I've worked with, and that have worked with him for a long time, he was that kind of guy. I mean, the best conversations he and I ever had, forget about football, they were about 24. He and I loved 24, and he was the biggest fan of 20. And we would text and email each other. What do you think this means? What's Marwan gonna do next week when it comes? Like one of the villains, and you know, like season three. And I would say, well, I think this, and I don't know if this is gonna happen. And he would talk about every time he's ready to come on. He goes, I think about that scene. I think it was like season four when Jack just cleans house in the middle of the season. You're not expecting it, and he's killing everybody. And he goes, that's what I think of when I'm ready to go on the air. I know I'm all over the place right now. It's really difficult. I mean, he was, like I said, everything you're going to hear about him was true. And he was just that kind of guy. He loved football. He loved the NFL. He loved what he did. He loved having fun. He loved being able to poke fun at himself. I think Seth Wickersham had the best line on it, saying he took his job seriously, but not himself. And that's exactly what he was. Not many people could do a Slayer commercial like that and want to do that. Yeah, I'll put on a wig and I'll pretend I'm doing my hit and everything else. Yeah, I'm going to sit down and going to eat noodles on my bed and turn up music. He really was a gentle, wonderful gentleman, and I'm just going to miss. He's not in the world anymore, and I hope that he and his family can at least get a bit of what's going to be said about him in the coming hours and days as we look back at a life and a career that was just outstanding. You know, I mean, nobody. He was Schefter, he was Glazer, you know, before these guys really took the, you know, being an insider to the next level in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, he started doing his segments for ESPN in the mid-90s. And, you know, this is when, you know, you go back 25, she'll tell you what this is like, is that if you wanted your news like an insider, you know, there was no way to get it unless you saw it somewhere. And every Friday, it's funny, ESPN used to run this thing called In the End Zone with Fred Edelstein, right? That was like, Fred Edelstein was like the first NFL insider who was on TV all the time. And, you know, the funny thing was he was never in the end zone. They would say in the end zone, he was always on like the 20-yard line. And then he left, and then he defrauded a bunch of people and, you know, went to prison, I think, for like 2 years.
I hope that's right. Otherwise, you just...
No, it is. I just don't know how long...
Kick this guy in the ass.
No, he did. No, I know all that is true. I just don't know if he went for 2 years or a year and a half. I forget what it was. And then John Clayton comes in. And nobody really knew who he was. Like, John Clayton's going to do in the end. Who's John Clayton? Okay, John Clayton. And then after like the first month, it was, what's John Clayton saying? And whoever was editing the John Clayton bits, I forget what it was called, because it wasn't in the end zone anymore. But whoever was, can we see it? I want to see what John Clayton is saying, like who he's talked to and what big things are going on. And we would all try to watch the tape, the 3.5-minute segment that John Clayton would do that would air every Friday on ESPN. It would air in the early Sports Center, the late Sports Center, would air on the weekends. And you know, for someone to have that kind of success and be that kind of person, I mean, that's someone that I'm just so incredibly, I was happy for his career and what he did. And look, the guy was, he's a legend. Everybody know, whether you're 15 years old or you're 50 years old, you know him because that was John Clayton, right? He was all the 90s and the early 2000s and everything else. And 67 years old, John Clayton. Like I said, I know I'm all over the place. And I know it's going to be that kind of night right now because it's just come in. It's new. But John Clayton passed away today at the age of 67.
Yeah, a guy I met a few times, had on shows a number of times, as you said, once we hit this spot. You know, it's a little late for folks, so it's okay. But, you know, you have those faces that are in the crowd and that you knew their passion for the game. Right, Seattle, I'm seeing our buddy Softy over at KJR, and you know, his outpouring of love, and that commercial is hit my timeline 900,000 times.
Oh, I know, it's all over the
place. So if I had a dollar for each time, I could walk away from the show right now. And that would be it. It would be the Jason Smith Show with his friend wandering it, like in Zihuatanejo, like Morgan Freeman, because he just found gold. But yeah, the Clayton thing I had was, back in the day, I used to be a regular with Tunch and Wolf in Pittsburgh, and they did a fantasy event. And so they brought me out, and they brought Clayton out, and we're talking. And it was for 2005, the year Joe Jurevicius was going to the Seahawks. And we got into it, and I talked him up as a guy that was going to have a huge impact. And we had a drink bet that he would score at least 8 touchdowns. Now, if you know Jurevicius' career, he did that once. He scored 10 touchdowns that year. Otherwise, he was a 3 or 4 touchdown a year guy for the duration of his career. And he would always get mad at me when I wouldn't see him and I'd bring that up. Because how? I'm like, he fit what they were doing offensively. And so I took the bet. But it was great to debate, right? But loved football, loved this job. And you're just seeing the outpouring of emotion. I mean, you in just opening the microphone to the show. Right, it doesn't matter if you haven't seen a guy in a couple of years, couple of months, whatever. You start flashing back to all of the good times, and I know across the football industry and certainly throughout his tenure at ESPN, made so many fans, friends, and colleagues that are right now trying to put into words what he meant. So can't wait to read some more of the stories and to watch that Slayer clip another 9,000 times.
Oh, I'm everything people are writing about him is true. Everything, you know, and just in the last few years, even when he wasn't doing as much national stuff as he was, he still did radio hits, but he was doing a lot of radio and local TV, and he's a big Seahawks insider. And he, like I said, he just had a big bit on Russell Wilson. You know, he was just on the air, I think, last weekend on his weekend show, talking about everything going on in Seattle sports. And it's just stunning. When that this came out of nowhere, when I saw his name trending, I thought he broke a story. Like when I saw John Clayton, it wasn't one where I looked and said, "Ooh," I said, "Ooh, he must have broke a story. He must have broke an NFL story. Something happened with Seattle." I swear to God, for a quick second, I said, "Oh man, how happy I was," because I thought John Clayton was breaking a story of a quarterback that the Seahawks were going to get. I really thought that after all of the craziness today with Watson and Baker Mayfield, I thought he's got that story. And then to see the tweet from one of his friends that announced that he passed away earlier today, I was just, what? What? I don't know. It's going to be a tough night, and I know I'm not going to be able to do his life and career justice in any way, but I'm going to damn try, because he was just that kind of person that was universally loved, because not everybody is. And, you know, that's the part about this business.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are some guys he used to spar with that probably still have some hurt feelings.
Because
yeah, he could be curt when he didn't agree with your premise about a player. No. Hey, you know our business. People are are chappy, and I'm not saying that reflects badly on him at all. I think there's look in the mirror moments that some of our colleagues need to do.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's disagreeing on a take. Like, I remember one time when I said to him, it was about Michael Vick, and we were talking about it, and I said, John, the NFL has to suspend him. I said, this is when the whole thing is going on and the dogfighting scandal just broke. I said, the NFL's got to suspend him. And I said, what is going to stop the NFL from suspending him? And he goes, the Constitution of the United States. And I was like, boom!
You
give me the Constitution, and we got it on. But that's how it was.
At that point, it was a new world order to do that.
Oh, sure. You didn't,
right? Because talk of suspension, unless the guy had actually gone to jail.
Yeah.
You really didn't see a whole lot of disciplinary action back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think that's lost on people, the way things are adjudicated now. And you can disagree with Goodell, but back in the day, John wasn't wrong.
No.
Because he didn't expect the NFL to do anything.
The Constitution. Like, the Constitution. I'm like, first I'm thinking, do you mean the NFL? NFL's got a Constitution? Oh, you mean the Constitution of the United States? But when it came to his relationships with others, there's not one person I'm like, you know who John Clayton was beefing with? You know, there's nobody. It's like, John Clayton was really beefing with this guy. No, there's no beefs. I mean, he had no beefs with anybody. Everybody respected him and the job he did. And it was, to have that kind of reputation, because look, nowadays there's people that have reputation. Look, I'm sure there's some radio, in fact, I know a couple radio hosts who don't like me just because of my takes. They don't even know it, but they don't like me because of my takes. And I can feel that when I hear a story from someone or I meet somebody, I can tell, okay, you just don't like what I say in the radio, so I have no time for you. But that happens now, right? It's that kind of. There's nobody I know that's going to say, "Hey, oh man, John Clayton, man, he did this and he did this." There's none of that. There's none of that for John Clayton. Chris Mortensen just put out a tweet about a minute ago about John Clayton with a little more details. That he passed away today at a Seattle area hospital. His wife and his sister were at his side. Communicated earlier, he passed peacefully after a brief illness. Pat is going to ask the Seahawks to release further information about John Clayton. And again, that's just in right now from Chris Mortensen. He took care of his wife, Pat, for so long, and Pat's a firecracker. If conversations with her are always fun, and she would say, let's you and I have a conversation, Jason, about my husband for a second. Oh, okay. And it was, it really was. Their relationship and how you see them together, and I would say, yeah, that's you look at that and go, when I get older, if that can be the relationship I have, because John's about 16 or 17 years older than I am, and because he's 67, I believe, and you see that and you go, to have that kind of care and that kind of relationship and that kind of trust, you just see people when they're together and you get that works. That was the two of them when you saw them together. And like I said, the times that's I saw awesome. Them at Super Bowl or having dinner with them when he was down here in L.A., she goes, can we not talk about 24? Have you guys talk about 24? I want to know, Jason, about what your life is like here in Los Angeles. Like, that's what Pat would say. And John would say, all right, we can talk about 24 another time. And like I said, everything you're going to see and read and hear about John Clayton is true. An absolute legend, 67 years old. He passed away earlier today. But, here our business, of course, is sports. Look, John Clayton was one of the titans of the industry, right? All the stuff he did. Yeah, I'm seeing it now. Everything on my timeline is John Clayton. Everything in the United States is John Clayton. John Clayton, John Clayton. He deserves every single bit of all these plaudits that he is getting.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Browns next season will play at Houston, at Carolina, and at Atlanta. So everybody he said no to, okay, we'll see you in the fall. I'm going to put that big X on the calendar. Welcome back to the NFL.
Blank you, blank you, blank you. You're cool.
But, look, we spent a lot of time on Deshaun Watson the last few minutes. And like I said, many different angles to this story. Why Cleveland? Why Cleveland was the best fit? Absolutely. Now what for Baker Mayfield? Because clearly you can't keep him, although I'd love to see that happen, right? Hey, Deshaun may get suspended, Baker, so we'd like you to start the first six or so games. I mean, then you're losing your job no matter what, but we need you to stay so we have somebody to start the first few games because, you know, look, it's likely Watson's going to get a suspension when it's all said and done. So, you know, just stay, Baker, just it's fine. Then we can worry about trading you. Then we'll trade you some of the time. So I hope that happens. But if you're looking for the best landing spots, I know he wants a trade to Indianapolis. Forget it, man. I mean, if you're Indianapolis, you just close the door and say no thank you. Indianapolis went down this road with Carson Wentz, a disappointing former high first-round pick. They're not going to do it again, all right? They got to go bolder. They need more of a sure thing than Baker Mayfield.
Well, that's the thing, though. Is there a sure thing out there at this point?
Throw a dart in the draft, and that's a sure
wow.
thing. Than
come on now. Throw come a on. Dart no, that's just completely disrespectful. Although, as I said yesterday, you can go find check the tape. Now that you invoke the Carson Wentz comparison, I said exactly that. Well, I just had the – if I have no confidence in Carson Wentz getting me to the promised land, and then you look at those last couple of weeks and the no-show effort against Jacksonville in the season finale with the playoffs on the line. I don't know why I want Baker, who's, you know, giving me his journal thoughts on Twitter.
You know, the Indianapolis, I wouldn't be surprised if now they wait out Jimmy Garoppolo's surgery.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they wait that out and that becomes something that happens later on in the calendar year.
Well, it is the AFC version of what he's at right now.
Yeah, so
offensive line, great run game. They need one or two more receivers. They're a little thin in that regard, but yeah, it would work pretty well. Good defense as well.
Now for Baker, there's three places that where he can go that would be the best landing spots for him. Number one, look, would Pittsburgh work? Yeah, but are they going to trade him in the division? Probably not going to happen.
They got Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, but
what are you doing?
They said they want to go with another quarterback and someone to compete. Not going to hand the job to Trubisky.
It's not happening
because it's the same division. But Carolina, just because I'd love to see him duel with Sam Darnold, right? For this, how great would that be? Now who do we have? Oh, we got Sam and Baker, and now they're going to duel it out.
Number one versus number one in the cage. The road to WrestleMania continues.
Two guys who stink that you're paying a combined $40 million for this year. And, oh, by the way, Cam Newton, you're still paying him too. So that would be awesome. Seattle might work because Pete Carroll is a rah-rah guy, and he can come in and battle it out with Drew Locke, and Pete Carroll always preaches competition. He might be able to thrive there. I mean, it's a chance, but maybe. But the place where he should go, honestly, that no one's saying, he should go to Tampa Bay. Go to Tampa Bay because it's not about the talent with him. It's about learning what it means to be a quarterback in the NFL. And if he goes to Tampa for the next year or two, kind of like Trubisky, he goes and he learns under, you know, behind Josh Allen, then gets another chance in a couple of years. That's the move. Go learn what it really means to be a quarterback. Get mentally tough. See how Brady does it. See how he attacks the NFL, and you will learn a lot. And then in 2 years, you're ready to be a starting quarterback again. Because, look, Brady could be doing this thing next offseason after that. But go and do that for a couple of years with a quarterback guy like Bruce Arians. No pressure on you. Just learn what it is to be a leader. Get better, and then you have that other chance. That's where I'd love to see him wind up. Honestly, that's where I'd love to see him go.
Yeah, I like Kyle Trask there, so you'll find another spot. Tampa Bay's a no-go. Seattle had evidently already been, you know, kicking the tires and trying to do their due diligence. You obviously have Metcalf and Lockett, what Rashad Penny ends up being for them. And, look, they upgraded the offensive line once Russell left, so, I mean, that's in better shape than it was. So I think that's the spot. But for theater, yeah, against in Carolina against Sam Darnold, are you kidding me? And they wrapped up DJ Moore for another 3 years, so they at least have one prime target to throw to.
Look, he's going to wind up getting somewhere. It's not going to be anything like it was in Cleveland where he had it, where he was a starter, but now he's got to go someplace where the best place for me to reinvent my career. And I'm telling you, Tampa, go learn under Tom Brady. Do nothing for 2 years like Trubisky and people will love you again. That's all you got to do. He's shown do nothing and we'll love you. That's all you have to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Joining us now on the hotline, a man who is still currently a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, longtime insider, longtime friend of the show, and I guarantee without even knowing, he was probably a longtime friend of John Clayton, because if you're in the business as long as he is, everybody's been that kind of guy. Jason Cole, what's happening, man?
Well, you hit it right on the top of the head. Yeah, rough night tonight, guys. Rough night. John is as good a human being as you'll ever find in this business, and as honest and as good and helpful a person as you could ever imagine having had contact with, especially when you're getting started in this business. When I did, and tonight's a little tough. That's all.
So, well, and tonight. Look, hey, I've known him a long time, been to dinner with him and his wife, but I really now I'm a little upset because he's the guy to blame for loosing you on the we wouldn't have to worry about your hits every week and all the crap that you say. Now it's John Clayton. Now I know it's John Clayton's fault now.
Yes, it is.
Great.
You can put this all the creation of this is an extension. Yes, and this madness is an extension of John Clayton, who would appreciate the madness because he had a devious sense of humor.
Had he not been so helpful, we wouldn't be here. Had he just been a less helpful guy, you know, we would be in a different place.
You know what? That is the consistent.
You would have avoided all of this. It would have just disappeared in another world. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I had the chance to do a couple of events with John a long while ago and some radio hits. But, like, the timeline tonight, obviously the long tenure at ESPN, but J. Cole, the consistent thing is just very much that. People talking about their first jobs and how he would seek them out to try to make them comfortable in their new environments. Yeah. And that seems to be the legacy.
I remember talking. I was in Buffalo, right, and he was working in Seattle. We were at a playoff game, and he had read some of my stuff about, you know, and I was pretty, you know, knowledgeable about the salary cap, and followed it, and, you know, figured teams out. And I was one of those guys, you know, and he was better at it than I was, way better, and always better. But he was one of those guys who recognized that people understood that the salary cap was really critical and important, whereas a lot of people we just kind of write it off like, oh, they'll figure out the money and they'll get the players they want to get. No, it was a lot more technical than that. And, John could have been a capologist for any of his teams. I mean, like, he could have literally studied the league and it would have been better than probably 95% of the guys because he also understood football. Like, that was the other thing. I mean, just a genius explaining the game, relating it to what the numbers meant, what teams did well, didn't do well. Yeah, he's as smart a football reporter as you will ever meet. And, you know, look, Adam Schefter's a great information guy. Obviously, there are other guys who are good information guys. But it's very rare that guys completely and totally understand the game, the cap, the economics, how it all works together. And really, like, the best part of John is as good as he was on radio and as much information, as much stuff as you would learn about the game, if you got him into those moments where he could just be kind of off color and not, you know, not, I'm not talking about swearing all the time or anything, like just, but just completely and totally honest about the guys, where he could just say, yeah, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. Like, when he could say it that way,
yeah,
he was just, he was even more amazing. Like, so if you could get John Clayton unfiltered, you know, not, you know, away from the having the, you know, to do it in a TV way or a radio way, and just like serve it up the way he really thought. Oh my God, it was even better. It was just, and I was privileged to have had hours of those kinds of conversations with John along the way. So this is a rough night, but it's also a glorious night to remember one of the guys, one of probably the two or three guys in this profession I respect the most.
You know, it's funny you say that, because it's kind of like, you know, you talk about the moments off camera, and I mentioned earlier in the show, like, but some of the best conversations John and I would have was about the TV show 24, because we were both huge fans of the show, and like, he would come on my show every week, and for like 10 minutes before we tape, we'd talk about 24. Who do you think that this new president, Gregory Itzen, is great? I don't know. Is he better than David Palmer? Well, then we do the hit, and then we talk about it for another 15 minutes after. What do you think's going to happen? Those are the conversations I remember, just how much he would say. And he would say, and Jason, I'll talk to you next week after an all-new 24. And that like became the way he would sign off when he would come on the show, because that's how Fox would say it. I'm up next on an all-new 24. I'll talk to you next Sunday after an all-new 24.
That's so clear.
And he made it that way. And I know some executives said, hey, why does John say it that way? I go, why? You're upset? You really? What do you think is going to – you're worried, hey, people are going to turn off the radio and go watch 24? Really? You think that's what's going to happen? Oh, people at ESPN were insane sometimes. They got mad at me once because, you know, because I knew him really well. And we would talk, and I would call him, hey, Johnny C., what do you think about this? And just to have that kind of conversation. I remember one time after, one of my managers said, yeah, you know, I think we're going to dial it back on the closeness. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, when you call him Johnny C., I go, yeah, well, what's wrong with that? He goes, you know, it just seems like it's chummy, it's buddy-buddy. I think it kind of blurs the line with professionalism and certain things. I go,
oh, please.
On the radio calling him, I mean, these are some of the minutiae that ESPN was always worried about. And when he came on and I said, hey, John, and he knew, I think, that happened, because at one time I forgot about it. And I said, all right, so Johnny C., he goes, whoops. And just like, he didn't even say anything else. He just knew that they said that, and he didn't care. But he just said, whoops, and then he answered, because he knew that, but he didn't care. It was just, he knew that conversation that went on, and he slipped in that whoops right there. Oh, my God. He was so much fun.
He's, what a perceptive dude, a funny dude. I just remember having conversations with him about, yeah, this is what this guy really said about that guy. And, and so, like, again, like, he was never big on talking about sort of the macho alpha male side of football, because he just thought, you know, that's, everybody should know that. Everybody should accept that. But when he did dip into that kind of stuff and he got away from the analytical stuff, he knew, you know, like, he just knew the personalities. He knew, like, who were the real dummies in this profession and who were the really smart guys, because he studied their work and he saw, oh, that guy's, you know, that guy's just not sharp, you know, or he's an, you know, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Or that guy really, really understands it. Like, he could really pick it out. So, you know, I think NFL teams just really missed it, that somebody should have hired this guy to do the analytics of football, you know, because he was so far ahead of it, and he would have made great hires, and he would have understood who the good personnel people were, and he would have, like, he could have done all that kind of stuff. He was that smart. He should have been on the inside of the game, but I'm forever grateful that he was not, and that I got a chance to get to know him this way.
Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, in the tribute from a personnel standpoint, we've got our guy Jason Cole with us at JasonCole62, where you find him on Twitter. You've got the latest book, Elway, A Relentless Life. Go get that. Exceedingly blunt. You know that from his weekly visits. Still a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, despite Smith's efforts to make that
derail my voterdom. Yes. Yeah. Or selectordom, no, whatever we want to call it. Yes.
So definitely. With a little nod to John Clayton in mind, today, obviously, the zag in the quarterback world as Deshaun Watson becomes a member of the Cleveland Browns. Would love to hear the unfiltered Clayton on it. But here you are, Jason Cole. We come to expect even more unfiltered from you. Personnel-wise, 22 cases still hanging. What went through your mind when you saw $230 million guaranteed?
Oh, I'm impressed with what Cleveland did in this deal. They came back and they convinced them to do it. Obviously, the coaching staff had a big impact on this because, you know, like if you're Deshaun Watson and you're looking at the ownership, you're probably going, come on. But, you know, I think the coach convinced him on this one. The money is obviously important. But for three firsts, a third and, what, a fifth, you know, to get him, and no players involved. I mean, in a sense, they got him for less than Denver got Russell Wilson. And Deshaun Watson's 30. I mean, Deshaun Watson's 26 and Russell Wilson is 33.
Right.
So when you take that into account, and yeah, the money's expensive. I get it. But you don't get very many opportunities to get a franchise quarterback. And if you're Cleveland, I mean, I made this point on Twitter a couple of weeks ago talking about how long it's been since some teams have had franchise quarterbacks. Like, they haven't had a franchise quarterback, and you know, since Bernie Kosar. And some people would argue that, you know, Kosar wasn't even truly a franchise guy. I would take issue with that. But name a great quarterback, a truly great quarterback that Cleveland's had since Otto Graham.
Nicely done. And
if you thought my Beverly Hillbillies reference was aged last week, you know, I can't wait to hear what you guys think of the Otto Graham reference this week.
Oh, I celebrate his whole catalog. Go Cats.
I thought you were going to say since Brian Sipe, but you went back even further than
or
that.
Or 2007 with Derek Anderson.
Sipe was a flash in the pan kind of guy. I mean, he was okay.
Oh. Wow, look at you.
No,
come on.
Don't
he
give
was
me
the quarterback
Brian
of the Cardiac
Sipe. Like, no,
Kids.
Let's not do this. Don't
he was part
this.
Of the Cardiac Kids. It's the greatest NFL films ever, the Cardiac Kids. That's the best episode NFL films has ever done.
It's fun. It's good. It petered out after about 3 years. Okay, it wasn't all
wow.
that impressive.
Really? This is all John Clayton's fault. I mean, all of this hate from
all
John
yeah,
all
of the, this
all
criticism.
Of
who made you? Who
all
should we
this.
Blame for you? Like,
all of this.
Is it? Is it the is it Sonny Werblin, or do we get, you know, Hess? What are we doing
Werblin.
Here? What are you doing?
You
know,
you
like
blame
Joe
somebody?
Namath is like the Joe Namath, like dreams of Joe Namath, like, oh, we can do it again. There'll be another Namath. No, there's not. You are the Jets. That's all you get. So you live in the past with Werblin and Namath and Hess, and, you know, a bunch of other guys that most New Yorkers have never heard about because you're Jets fans and you know nothing.
I interviewed Joe Namath once, and
did he want to kiss you?
No. Like 90 seconds. One of those where he was on, it was a red carpet thing, and Joe Namath said, so I had him for like 90 seconds. I finished the interview, and I said, I have no idea what I just asked him. I was just like, oh, my God, it's Joe Namath. It's like the world slowed down for me. I'm
Joe,
like, oh, my God.
Hey,
Joe Namath is right there. You want to talk to him? And my head just went, sure, let's bring, let me talk to Joe Namath.
Joe Namath You're all over. I have. You are all I have, Joe. That's it.
If I had Tom Seaver standing here next to you, my entire life would be in circle right here. This is
I could
it.
Die
this is
now I have. And be a happy man.
This is what I have right here. So lastly, because I know you were big on this yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
The whole behavior from Baker Mayfield throughout this whole thing. I'm sending out a thank you note.
What a
wuss. I want to be traded.
You are just a wuss.
I get it. You know, and I understand that he he's not someone that's mentally strong. But shouldn't the Browns have known that this was going to happen? I mean, they've known the guy for 4 years.
I'm not disputing that. Okay, I'm not disputing that Cleveland should have anticipated that he would have a childlike response, which is probably why they came back and said, we'll do whatever we can.
Double up, exactly. Right. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, they're like, oh, my God, now we got to deal with this again? Oh, forget it. Just go give him the 238. Give, you know, do we have to give him $300 million? Let's just do it to get rid of Baker, okay? I get it, okay? But I just look at Baker Mayfield and go, what happened to the dude who had swagger who would come back and go, oh, you wanted Deshaun Watson, huh? Let me show you what I can do, right? And that would have been the guy who, you know, did that stuff in college, first couple of years in the pros. Now it's like, well, I have my brand to protect and this and that, and I'm a whiner. Like, God, you're such – I can't say it on air, but you're such
– just say weak sauce and leave it alone.
I just can't say it. The FCC is going to – you know, I'll be banned from the show forever. But, God, yeah, it's so soft. It's so weak. And I hear this, like, oh, what's Matt Ryan going to do now that Atlanta – Matt Ryan's going to come back and he's going to play for the money. He's going to play really hard. And he's probably not going to be real happy. But that's what you do, right? Like, you just come back and you prove it to everybody that I'm just better and I'm gonna play balls out right here, you know, and that's the way we're going to do this. And I'll show you what I'm made of. Like, to me, I would respect that. Now, look, I understand plenty of other players have talked their way off of teams, and that's their strategy. And I explain lots of times, and I've said it on this show, you know, are you willing to talk your way off of a team? That's Aaron Rodgers. Do you have the guts to talk your way off of a team? So I understand that's a strategy. It's not a strategy I respect, but it's a strategy, and it's the strategy that you have to play in certain situations. And Baker was willing to do that, and I respect that he's willing to stand up and say, I want to be out of here. I get that. But I don't respect the overall approach. Like, if it was, you know, I'm like, I look at Tom Brady. When Tom Brady was at Michigan and Drew Henson shows up, and Drew Henson is God in Michigan, right? Like, he's a freshman and Brady's a junior, and everybody thinks that, you know, Drew Henson should just walk on water and walk straight into the starting quarterback position. Brady stuck it out, mostly because his dad told him, you know, look, life's tough. Go fight. You know, you can come back to Cal if you want, and, you know, you can play for that horrible school if you want. But gratuitous shot.
I'll send it out to Trask.
You're right, yeah, but yeah, you could, yeah, tell Amy Trask I said that, please. Tweet it to her. Yeah, you can play for that awful school, or you can be a man and you can stay at Michigan and, you know, win the job and show some mental toughness. And that's what he did. And if you want to know one of the main reasons why Tom Brady is who he is, because he didn't look back and say, oh, they brought in Drew Henson, they don't love me, Lloyd Carr doesn't love me. He didn't even recruit me because it was the previous coach. He's like, look, I'll just go take the job. And he did.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. That is at JasonCole62, longtime NFL insider, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, and the book Elway, Relentless Life, of course, available bookstores and Amazon. So basically anywhere you want books, you can get it. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Be good. Take care.
Thanks, brother.
All right. There goes Jason Cole. So it's John Clayton's fault. We have Jason Cole.
Yep.
All right. Wow. Okay.